24. Joshua chapter 24, look down in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Which one am I at? Choose you this, yeah. Whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Let's pray. Father, give us liberty now this morning, O God, to preach. I pray that you would hide the flesh behind the cross. Wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of the Lamb. And fill us and anoint us with the Holy Spirit. May He hover upon this place, brood upon this place. Minister to every heart and to every need. Bring honor and glory to Thyself. And do good unto these Thy people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Two Options, One Choice, Eternal Consequence. Two options, one choice, eternal consequence. Life is filled with choices. You make scores of them every day. Some choices you make are good, some you make are bad, but you can't live without making choices or decisions. And no matter how many options you have, sooner or later, it comes down to two. You can have 500 options, and you eliminate them one by one, and in the final analysis, it comes down, you've got a choice to go this way or that way. You've narrowed it down to two, and from those two, you must pick one. Why must you pick one? How come you can't take two choices? Why can't you climb two mountains at the same time? Okay? There's some things you just can't do in twos. You just got to do one. And you can't make a decision to do right and a decision to do wrong at the same time. You can't make a decision to serve God and serve the world at the same time. Okay? Now the Bible said over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, He said, "For no man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will cleave to the one and despise the other." And so it's either love and hate, or cleave and despise. You can't have it both ways. The most miserable person on the planet is the individual that tries to walk two paths at the same time. The person who tries to be a Christian and yet be worldly at the same time. You need to make a choice. And you're going to live for God and serve Him with sincerity, or give God up and just go on out and live in the world and live like the devil and enjoy it. Now, because when you live trying to do it both ways, trying to serve two masters, you don't enjoy either one. Your life is filled continuously with contradictions. It's always filled with guilt because you didn't do this for that one, or you did this for that one, and it just doesn't work. If you want to be happy, saved or lost, you got to get in one camp. You got to get in one. You can't walk in both. I heard a fellow say one time, you know the problem with trying to walk down the middle of the road? Is you get hit coming and going. You get hit from both sides. And you can't live in this world and try to live for God on the one hand and be carnal and worldly on the other without getting ripped to shreds. Now, so this morning, I don't want to talk to you so much about choose you this day whom you will serve in the sense of let's get saved. Most of you profess to have made that choice. Amen. And if I understand the text right, that's not the subject of the text. All the people in question in this passage of Scripture were God's children. They were all Jewish. They were all Israelites. Who they were or what they were was not in question. What they were going to do was the question. And so this morning, for the sake of this message, this is a dangerous thing to do, but I'm going to assume that everybody I'm talking to is saved. I'm going to assume that you've trusted Christ, and if you die today, you know that you know that you know you'd go home to be with the Lord. Amen? I mean, you could look eternity in the face, and while you would hate to leave behind your loved ones, there would be no fear, no trepidation about leaving, because you knew when you left here, you'd go home to be with Jesus. Amen? I'm going to make that assumption. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. While you're still alive, and while you're still in the flesh, while you're still upright, while you're still warm, while you're still walking around, who are you going to serve? That's the question. Now, it comes down to two options. You either serve Christ or you serve the devil. That's the only two choices you've got. You can put it another way. You can live for him or you can live for yourself. Same devil. Amen. You talk to the average church member and they'll say, well, preacher, I'm saved and I've been serving God for 35 years. Which, generally speaking, is just simply not so. If they had stopped when they said, I'm saved, they might have been right. But if you look at the way they live and what they do, the way they behave, the way they act, the way they dress, their habits, their customs, their tradition, where they go, how they hang out, they're not much time spent serving God. What it is, they got under conviction, and maybe they got saved. I hope they got saved. I trust that they got saved. But what they really wanted, instead of a lifestyle, was a fire escape. They wanted an escape mechanism to miss hell. When the final day comes and life is over and they got to lay the body down, they want some assurance, somewhere, some way, somehow, that when this thing is up, they'll go to be with Jesus. But other than that, they weren't looking for much. Now, so you've got two options. See, what are they? Live for God or live for the devil? Serve God or serve yourself? Choice is yours. So you've got two options. You only have one choice. But never forget for a second that the consequence of your choice is an eternal consequence. You say, well, I'm saved and that my eternity is settled. No, your eternal destination is settled. The destination. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot more to getting to heaven than just arriving at the train station. I mean, maybe you're going to get on the long black train. Maybe you're going to end up at the railway head. Maybe you're going to, the conductor will get you there. But then what? Are you alive today? Some couple gets married and they have a little old baby. And the time comes and the baby's born. He's arrived. Here he is. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. Getting to heaven is not the end. It's the beginning. Amen. You know what you spend? We spend the rest of our lives, when mom and dad have a little old young and they're going to spend the next 18 to 25 years trying to get that kid some education and some training to prepare him for something so he can do bigger and better things and enjoy life more and have things they never had. We always say we want the best for our children, and we work in labor and try and steer them and point them in the right direction. Why didn't we quit when they got here? Say, okay, they're here, boy. We had us a baby. That takes care of that. Because you want more for them than that. I want more for you than for you to end up in heaven. There's more. There's so much more. What are you going to do when you get there? How will you fare? Wouldn't it be an awful thing to live in a fine house here and drive a fine car here and end up being a beggar and on Skid Row up in glory? Now some of y'all think there ain't no Skid Row in glory. You need to read the original Greek. It's in there. So I want to talk to you for a while about two options, one choice, eternal consequences. Now in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it said, No man can serve two masters. So the first thing you need to understand is that there are no split decisions and no split loyalties. It's one or the other. God wants you to get in or God wants you to get out. And Christians who try to straddle the road make it much more difficult for those who want to live godly in this present evil world. But serving God is a choice. God's not going to beat you up. Serving the devil is a choice. God will let you do that. There's a price to pay for it, but you have the choice. And so the first thing you need to understand about this options and choice thing is that there's a thing we call the doctrine of free will. You can make up your own mind. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, the Bible said, "And how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, and ye would not." What was the problem in that statement? The ye. God said, "I wanted to do something for you, but you didn't want it. I would have done this and this and this, but you wouldn't go along with it." See? Now what does that mean? That means that you have the power, you have the ability to decide how you're going to live, what you're going to do. You have the power to obey or disobey Almighty God. Now your cat ain't got that. Your dog ain't got that. Your pet goldfish ain't got that. God tells that goldfish, suck water, and that goldfish, you know, see them little gills going, that's what he does. God tells that cat to meow, that cat meows. Amen. Now, I can put a stop to that because I'd shoot that little sucker. But he tells your dog to bark, that little sucker will bark. And he's been talking real regular to my next door neighbors. They just drive you crazy down there. God tells every animal, plant, and fish in the whole wide world what to do, and it obeys God perfectly. The only creature on the planet that tells God no is me and you. You have a unique ability. You have a free will. I can get up here and preach, and you can listen to it and go along with it and let God change your life. Or you can say, "Oh, old fat boy's out of his mind. He's over the top. He's lunatic friends. I'm not doing that. I don't even care if he's right. I'm still not going to do that." And you have that choice. And there's nothing I can do about it. When you have options, you must have the liberty to choose which option. Don't eat of the tree. That means I can or I can't. I can obey or I can disobey. Okay? Two choices. Two options. One choice. We need to make up our mind whether we're going to serve God or not serve God. And we need to do it with sincerity. Now, there's also the time of the choice. In verse, 15 there, it said, "Choose you this day." This day, this very day, everybody in this room has already made choices, and you will make some more before it's over. Amen? My wife and I were talking this morning. We were being very spiritual and getting ready for church, so we were talking about where we're going to eat when we got through. And I said, let's go Chinese. No, we had Chinese 2 weeks ago. I don't want Chinese. I said, okay, let's go to Shoney's and have breakfast bar. They have brunch on Sunday. Well, that sounds good to me. I said, okay, that's where we go. That was our choice. We had them options. We narrowed it down, and we made a decision. Amen? Anybody else made a decision this morning? Now, my wife bought some strudel yesterday, cut a couple of pieces this morning, called Keefe to see if he wanted to come down and eat. He didn't want to come down and eat. Then I had to decide. I've got these two options, eat one or eat two. Life is so complicated sometimes. Amen? Now, it said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You need to choose. So why do you need to do that today? Because it may not be tomorrow. It may not be any tomorrow. What you put off today to do to tomorrow may never get done because the day may be the last one you ever have. Now, we ask you this morning to pray for this family because they had something happen they did not plan on. They had something happen they did not expect. I bet you that fella thinks it's always the other guy that gets killed in a car wreck. But he's the one that's dead. Amen? And so there's always an emphasis, there's always a necessity to do it today. Now, with that, there's a couple of things you need to understand. Not only do we need to make our decisions, make our choices in a timely manner, you need to understand some things about making choices. I've seen people make decisions or make commitments, and they break them in no time. Say, what happened? Well, I think sometimes what happens is when we ask people to make a choice or make a decision, make a commitment, they don't think it through. They don't realize what's involved. They forget that the commitment is not for just today, but it is for tomorrow and the day after and the day after and for the rest of their life. And so I want to talk to you for just a minute about that and the nature of certain commitments. For one, some choices that you make are only made, can only be made one time. You get to make it once, and that's it. No second shot, no backing up, no do-overs. One shot. You ever watch kids, you know? They'll be playing some game or something, and they can't wait for it's their turn, and they finally get up, and they take their turn, and they mess it up real bad, and they say, do-over, do-over, do-over. They want a second shot. There's some things you don't get a second shot for. Do you know that you can only lose your purity one time? And then you can't fix it. One shot. One time. Boy, you better be careful about that choice. That might be one you regret to your dying day. Amen? Now, there's a number of things that once you make that choice, there's no undoing it, there's no fixing it, there's no correcting it. It's something you're going to live with as long as you live. And boy, some choices need to be very carefully thought out. They need to be very carefully considered. Amen? And boy, when you look at a thing, you need to look at the consequence of the thing and the impact of the thing. Not all things that you make choices about affect just you. A lot of times, the decisions you make affect a whole host of other people. And so there, a lot of times there's long-term consequence. A lot of times there's major impact on other people. You need to stop and think before you make the choice. Not only that, some choices are made over and over and over again. Those are my favorites. Highlight one where I can make a choice a gazillion times. Amen? We went up to Kannapolis Friday night, and the kids sang a couple of songs, and I got to preach, and we left there, and we were deciding how we were going to conclude a very spiritual evening. So we were debating where we were going to eat. Have you noticed how us Baptists get food in everything we do? And we're coming down through there, and there's Concord Mills and University Place and a whole bunch of places down there, and all kind of restaurants. And we said, well, let's go so-and-so, and this one didn't like that, and this one didn't like that. There was absolutely no consensus on where to go. And finally, somebody said, there's a Steak and Shake over here, and everybody wanted to go to Steak and Shake. Why, I cannot figure out. I mean, it's okay, but man, it's overrated. The soup's the best part of the whole deal. But anyway, so we went to Steak and Shake. That was our decision. And now this morning, the wife and I had to do that same thing all over again. We had to decide where we're going to eat Sunday lunch. And last night, we went through that whole process trying to figure out where we was going to eat dinner. But it was easy to settle on Olive Garden. But see, you get to make that kind of decision over and over and over. Right? And the worst consequence you can have is you get bad service or bad food. Like Friday night at Steak and Shake, we got both. Lord, we're double blessed. We got bad service and bad food. So some choices you make one time in your life. One time. Some you can make over and over. Then there are some, and these are the ones, boy, these are the worst ones in the bunch. There are some choices that you can only make one time, but you have to reaffirm it over and over. That's the worst kind. I say, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to touch alcoholic beverage. I'm not going to drink beer, wine, porter, ale, none of that stuff. I'm going to be a teetotaler. Alcohol's wrong. Drinking's a sin. God hates it. Ruins your testimony. Gives you bad breath. Takes all your money. I ain't going to drink. Amen? Now, I made that decision. That's my decision. For me, in my life, I am not going to drink. But you know what I have to do? Couple of weeks, somebody's going to say, we're having a Christmas party at so-and-so. Why don't you come? There'll be plenty to drink. And again, I got to say, I'm sorry, I don't drink. Amen? And I have to reaffirm my commitment, my decision, over and over. It's not just today. See? I made a conscious decision, I made a choice not to drink in my lifetime because it's wrong. But I'm going to be presented with opportunities to do that over and over and over again. And because I have free will, I can change my mind. So now, I've made this choice, but now I must reaffirm it over and over and over again. Several years ago, we had a young lady. She went to some kind of seminar, and they had this thing where girls take a vow to maintain their chastity and their purity until marriage. And they have a little deal they do. And this girl came back and she told me about it. And so we bought her a little ring for that. And I wrote her a nice little poem thing about her decision and her commitment and the sacredness of it and the blessedness of it and the necessity to keep the resolve. It was no time at all till this little girl was in a family way. And she wasn't married. Now see, she made the choice, but she was repeatedly bombarded with opportunities to violate her choice. And she was worn down and she gave in and she threw herself away. Now, I'm afraid that's what happens a lot of times. People make a choice. They say, I, by the grace of God, am not going to do this or this or that or the other thing. But then they get around the wrong kind of people in the wrong environment. They're lonely. They want to be have friends. They want to be popular. This, that, or the other. They can rationalize, well, it's only this one time. It's really not that big a deal. And they violate that choice.
You got to stop and think about it before you make a decision. How long is it for? What is involved? What will it cost me? What are the ramifications? Am I man enough? Am I woman enough? Is it important enough? So that when you make that choice, you make a commitment to live by.
Some choices you make once. Some you make over and over. Some you make, and then you have to reaffirm it over and over and over again. And sometimes that's quite difficult for us to do things like that. And some of the choices we have to make in life are tough. Amen? I get so aggravated with modern psychiatry because everything is a syndrome. Everything is a sickness. Everything is an illness. Nobody's responsible for anything, you know. And we can place the blame on a gene or a hormone or a circumstance or where we were born or who our parents were or where we grew up. Everything is a choice. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that some people are predisposed to this and predisposed to that. I think you make a choice. Amen? A young girl presented with an opportunity to be immoral by some wicked male has the choice to say yes or no. She will live with the consequences of the decision for the rest of her life. Amen? A young man presented by an opportunity to be immoral with another man makes a choice. See, listen, look at you. You're homo sapien, right? Homosexuality is an act, not a condition. It's a choice. I don't care what they say, you can't get around it. Because when you're not committing the act, you're homo sapien. You're only homosexual when you commit a homosexual act. So it's a choice because you decide to do it or not do it. Okay? But now you're going to have to live with the consequence of that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I choose to drink, I choose to smoke, I choose to gamble, and then I live with the consequence. But it's all a choice. Everything you do is going to be a choice. Now you need to understand this, that choices determine the course of your life. You want to be happy? Well, of course you want to be happy. You want to have a good life and enjoy it? Of course you do. I never saw anybody that sat down in a corner and said, I'm just looking for some way to make myself just miserable as hell, man. I just want to be miserable from now to the day I die. And by the grace of God, I want to take as many with me as I can. Well, ain't no nut going to do that. You always want to be happy. You always want a good life. People say, I just want to have a good life and be happy. That's all I want. I'm not asking for much. But then they make all the wrong decisions, make all the wrong choices on how to do that. Choices determine the course of your life. It determines the quality of your life. Make good decisions, have a good life. Make bad decisions, you're going to have a bad life. Make good decisions, be happy and enjoy life. Make bad decisions, be unhappy. I was talking to, I think it was Keith yesterday. We had to go someplace and came back. And he said, you know, I said, I don't understand why I ever drank. Anybody would stop and think about it can't figure it out either. It's just a dumb decision. Gives you bad breath. Puts you in circumstances you wouldn't ordinarily have been in. Makes you do things you wouldn't ordinarily have done. You end up making a fool out of yourself. You end up feeling bad the next day, stomach all tore up, head hurting. You spend more money than you should have spent. Amen. You have accidents you wouldn't have had. You lay out of work when you could have worked.
I never had figured out what was so great about taking a drink. Hey, come on, let's go party. Listen, down there at the beach, they killed them 6 teenagers in that fire the other week. With 5 boys and a girl. And all of them had like 0.28 or something like that alcohol. Every one of them was stoned out of their mind. The building caught on fire and it's too drunk to get out. Now they're going to tell you, them was good kids. And they just went down for a little R&R. Yeah, and a little I&I too. Y'all been in the Navy, y'all know what that is? R&R, rest and relaxation, I&I, intercourse and intoxication. That's what they go down there for. That's what partying is. They say, let's party! That means let's get stoned and do it. You're going to be a genius to figure that out. Some mom and daddy paying for college education, let their little girl down and do that. You're insane. You're nuts. Where was I at? What? Choices. The choices determine the quality of your life. Let me tell you how to have a good life. I'm serious. Now you're going to think, when I tell you this, that one, I'm being too simplistic, and two, that you're going to miss all the fun. I'm here to tell you, if you'll listen to what I'm telling you this morning, I can assure you of a good life and a happy life and a blessed life. Every time a decision comes up, every time you've got to make a choice in life, do right. Old Bob Jones, Sr. used to say, boy, do right. If the stars fall from heaven, do right. If you'll do right, you'll have a good life. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. You don't have to be a genius. Somebody as dumb as me can get it. Somebody as smart as Louis can get it. You can get it if you want it. You want to have a good life? Just do right. Don't do questionable things. Don't do marginal things. Don't walk the edge. Don't get in the middle. Get on one side and just do right. Amen? Don't drink, don't smoke, don't lie, don't cheat, don't do those kind of things. Live right, be moral, honest, work hard, pay your bills, love your family. You'll have a good life. It'll just come as naturally as breathing. You won't have to look for it, you won't have to work for it. It's a natural outcome of your choice. You want to be miserable? You want to ruin your life? You want to ruin your kids? Just make all the bad choices. I tell you what, Dad, you just decide to go ahead and drink and end up a drunk. Mama, you decide to have an affair and go ahead and be a whore. Amen. And both of you decide it's more fun to party and go here and go there than it is to pay your bills. And you'll end up losing all you got. Amen. And you set that nasty, wicked example for all them little old boys and girls you've got, and they'll learn from you and they'll follow in your footsteps and they'll ruin their life too. Amen. And then you can look around and say, well, everybody's doing it. That's because you drug them with it. And then you get old and you say, boy, I wish I'd have done different when I was young. Hey, stupid! It's too late! You made the wrong choice and the consequence lasts. You can't undo your life. You had one shot. You had two options, one choice, and you blew it. You chose rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And now you're old and your body's falling apart and your kids are going to hell in a handbasket and you wonder what happened. You made the wrong choice.
When I was in my 20s, I thought 60 was somewhere close to the borderline of eternity. Now I'm almost 63 and I realize that 63 and 20 are millimeters apart. I don't know where it went. And God knows I've made some bad decisions, made some bad choices in my life. But thank God I made a couple of good ones too. Over 30 years ago, back in 1962, I decided to follow Jesus. That's the best decision. Was it 62? 72. Way back there. I'm 60s when I joined the Navy. That was a bad decision. 72, I got saved. That's the best thing ever happened to me. Now, the second best thing ever happened to me is I met this little lady right here and we got married. I'll be honest with you, I had no idea what kind of character she had. I did not know what kind of woman I was marrying. I just knew she was pretty and I wanted her. About the same thing y'all knew. And some of you couldn't even tell you why you did that. Amen. But I married her and I got to say it's the best two things that ever happened. That's changed the course of my life. We're pretty happy. Matter of fact, we are very happy. I don't know about her, but personally I'm ecstatically happy. You're not ruining my sermon. It's because of them choices. And down through the years, raising kids, pastoring a church, we've had to make choices after choice after choice. And it ain't always been easy. Some of them have just been tough. Some of them have ripped my heart out. But you have to make them. You get down to a point sometimes where it's this or that. And I, by the grace of God, when I get down to that point, I've always tried to go with God. Whichever side I figured God would be on, that's the decision I tried to make. Would Jesus wear this? If he would, I'd wear it. If he won't wear it, I don't want to wear it. Would he go there? Then I'll go there. If he won't go there, I ain't going either. Amen? Would Jesus have this habit? If he would, I want it. If he wouldn't, I ain't touching it. And I tell you what, that's worked pretty good. That's a good way to make a decision. At WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? So what are you saying? I'm saying you're going to live your life, you're going to make choices. You better make sure you make the right ones. Don't make it because it's easy. Don't make it because it's popular. Don't make it because it looks like it's fun. Make it on whether or not it's right. If it's right, it'll come out right. And if it's not right, it will not come out right. I don't care how hard you try. A fellow said one time, I can't use that illustration. Never mind. I could modify it, Lord. Okay. A fellow said, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken crap. Amen. You understand that? You make bad choices, you can't make a good life out of it. Look down in verse 15. Let me get one more before I get to that. The choices that you make determine not only whether you have a good life or a bad life, an enjoyable life or a sad life, but the choices you make determine your influence for God. Tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want my life to discourage people from following God. I don't want my life to be a hindrance to young people that are looking and trying to make up their mind. They're at the threshold of life and they're trying to decide which way to go and how to live. I don't want anything in my life that would push them away from God. I would rather go way overboard this way and sacrifice some things and do without some things than to do anything that would be a stumbling block to them young people. Amen? And you hear Christians say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with the ladies wearing the breeches and this, that, and the other, or the shorts, or the bathing suits, or going to the beach. What about your sphere of influence? Do you really want to encourage other people to run that risk? Do you? Well, I don't see nothing wrong with drinking a beer or two every now and then. Really? Okay. Let's just pretend. Now, you're nuts is what you are. Okay, I want you to understand it. You're just out of your mind. You're nuts. But let's just pretend for a minute that it you feel good about it and you don't have a problem with it. And as long as you don't have a problem with it, then it's okay. You're a relativist. It all depends on the situation, the circumstance. But what about them people that watch it? Amen. I don't want my liberty to be used as an occasion to the flesh. I don't want my liberty to be a stumbling block to somebody else. Paul said, if my meat makes my brother offend, I will eat no more meat as long as the world shall stand. I have to be conscious of and concerned about the influence and the outreach and the impact of the decisions I make on somebody else. How would you like for the preacher to be kind of liberal in his dress and his actions and his habits, and your children watch him, and you're trying to teach him one way, and your kids throw it up in your face? Well, preacher does it, must be okay. Amen. Well, how about this? What if you do that kind of stuff, and my kids throw it up in my face? Well, so-and-so's church member, and they do it. Works two ways, you see. So what are you praying, preacher? I'm saying you're going to make choices every day of your life, and it's going to influence the kind and the quality of your life, and it's going to have an impact on everybody around you. You better be doggone careful about the choices you make. You cannot be too careful. And you can't make them all based on what you like and what you don't like. You better look at how it impacts others. In verse 15, I'm almost out of time. Notice that the burden for choice is on you. You see, when you're presented with an opportunity to do right or do wrong or make a good choice or a bad choice, you're not going to have the liberty to come back and say, well, it's the preacher's fault. You're not going to get to do that. Say, why? Because you made the choice. You made it. You did it. Well, Steve, if you go out here this afternoon and make a bad choice and it busts up your marriage, you can't blame me for it. Say, why? I didn't make the choice. Choose you this day. The choice is yours. And as much as I hate to say it, the consequence is yours. And choices, actions, have consequences. You do good, good comes from it. You do bad, bad comes from it. Amen? You can't live like hell and end up in heaven. You can't live like the devil and end up in angels. You can't live bad and have a good life. Are some things that just attach themselves to your choices, and there's nothing me, you, or God Almighty can do about it. Now, some of y'all are wondering how long I'm going to beat this to death until I think y'all got it. Verse 15, choose you this day if it says, if it seem evil unto you. You know what? Your choices are generally determined by your understanding. You know what Americans do? We make our choices, we make our decisions just like this. We don't investigate. We don't think about it. We just look at it, and on the surface it looks okay, so it must be, so we okay, go ahead. Amen. And we don't spend 2 seconds thinking about, well, if I do that today, what will it do tomorrow? If I do that today, what will I set in motion? If I do that today, what kind of a long-term consequence will there be? We don't think about stuff like that. We just look at it. We're always in a hurry. We've got to have everything right now. So we just give it a casual glance on the surface and make a decision that may have catastrophic outcome down the road. Why is it so hard to stop before we do something and think about it? Weigh it. Analyze it. You ever been talking to somebody and they'll be working on something or doing something and you'll say, well, why are you doing it that way? And it just doesn't make a lick of sense to you. And the guy will take 5 minutes and say, well, I have to do it this way because, I mean, I could do this, but then I couldn't get this done. And the only way to get this whole chain of events, it has to be done sequentially. It has to be done in a certain order. And if I do it just right, and then everything comes out. But if I change the order someplace, everything gets all whacked out. Amen? And you say, oh, I see it now. I got it. No problem. I understand. And the understanding changed your whole concept about it. And when you have to make a life-changing decision, if you'd stop and think about it, if you'd investigate it, if you'd analyze it, get some counsel about it, read up on it, pray over it. A lot of times, it changes the choice you made. Your choice is generally determined by your understanding of the problem. Let me illustrate that one more time. How many times have you heard somebody say, if I'd have known how that was going to come out, I'd have never done so and so. If I knew when I was 25 that this is where it would lead, I'd have never started. You know what their problem was? They had no understanding. Let me close with this. Most choices are accompanied by a small window of opportunity. Most of the time, you don't have forever to make the choice. Young people just starting out in life, they say, oh, we got our whole life ahead of us. Yes, but your opportunity to have a good life is very limited. You start it by making wrong decisions. It's over with. If you get off on the wrong foot, there's a good chance you never will get back on the right foot. You get started on the wrong path, chances are you'll never get back on the right path. Your opportunity to succeed, your opportunity to be blessed, your opportunity for happiness is a very small window. You may have your whole life ahead of you, but the quality of that life is determined right off the bat by which way you start. I don't think it's possible for me this morning to overemphasize the importance of your choices. Your choices impact your life. They impact the people around you. They impact your children. And they impact the cause of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, it behooves us to be careful. To be very, very careful in the choices that we make. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord God, I pray.